Just make up a good story.
Today is January 14th, August 14th, 2016. Am I right there? I'm Lois Martinazzi, and we are at the, Castile Andrews Jurgens Ladd reunion going on and on. This is the 100th year of this reunion. And I'm talking to my first cousin once removed, Jean Jurgens. Jean, where were you born?
I was born in Portland, Oregon, and lived in Tualatin for the first several years of my life.
Well, you mean you were born in Tualatin at a hospital, you mean?
I was born in Portland at a hospital.
Oh, I see. But your parents were living in Portland.
My parents were living in Vancouver.
Hello. Oh, they were living in Vancouver?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Well, what were they doing there?
You got me there. They were living here. I mean, I'm totally confused. They were in Tualatin, not Vancouver. I was thinking they were home, and for me now, home is Vancouver, so that's
gotcha.
What I said.
Get some water.
Gotcha.
Abby, do you want
and did they live on the old Jurgens place?
Yes, they did.
Did they?
Uh-huh.
And my father's.
Uh-huh,
on the back porch.
Right in there.
They did
on
before. The before I was born. By the time I was born, they were living at Jurgens Park.
Oh, really? So you didn't live down on the...
I never have lived down on the farm.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I don't want to say what year were you born.
I was born in 28, but I don't really remember. I don't know when they moved to the park.
Oh.
But I don't know.
And was there... what was the park's name?
Jurgens Park. Jurgens Auto Park.
And that was up on the highway?
On Highway 99. And it was a combination gas station, grocery store, and they had cabins to rent, a park where you could come and picnic free of charge, and they had a ball diamond where they had games. They had a dance hall where they used to dance, and I remember when I was young how much fun it was to see the people dancing.
And where was the dance hall located?
Directly behind the store.
Oh.
It couldn't have been, 30 feet between the storehouse and the house, which was a combination, and the gas station, and the dance hall.
Really? Really? So they had records, must have had a jukebox.
They had a live band.
I think they had a live band, that's as I recall. But, you know, I mean, they were, you can call it a live band, probably a local farmers just getting together and
jamming. Yeah, yeah, that's what some of the old local farmers like to do, yeah. Well, that's interesting.
But I remember how much fun it was to listen to them.
Mm-hmm. So do you know who your parents bought the land from up on the highway?
No, I do not know. I do not remember. I have read, on occasion, I've read about the... Do you know the...
I thought perhaps it was Quackenbush.
Quackenbush, yes, that was the name. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was that whole piece.
Yes, I believe that Quackenbush and Charles Tigard, got together and bought all that property and developed it and then selling, plots of it.
That could be very possible, I guess.
And I just met with Curtis Tigard, who's 107 years old, and he said that Jurgens Park down on the river was the first swim park in Tualatin. Can you tell us a little bit about that? I hate to... Go ahead and eat.
No, that's fine. Of course, by the time that I was born, and the swim was not the first swim park anymore. Mm-hmm. But my memories of that park was that in the summer, people would come and just go swimming there, and the river was so shallow you could just wade across. There was a big table rock in the middle where you used to go out, and actually, Corky's parents, in my memory, spent a couple of summers down there taking care of the park.
That would be Kenny and Evelyn Andrews, right?
Yes, I remember that much. But that by the time that was gone, that part had gone, because they had Avalon Park and Louise and all the other places.
Rumors Rest, yeah.
That wasn't, our park on the water wasn't maintained.
Right. Do you remember down at the river park, the ditch that came out into the river?
Yes, I do.
I believe
from Uncle Bill's house and up that way.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I believe that my great-grandfather dug that ditch.
Very possible, because it went clear across that lower field.
Right, what we used to call the lower land. Uh-huh. The lower land.
He dug that, but where was the source? Was there water? There was a
spring?
There was a pump too, or not a pump, but a well of some kind up by Uncle Bill's.
There was a well, yes, I remember that very clearly.
I don't know if the ditch was connected to that.
I don't think it was. What I think is that the lowland down there, what is a wetland now,
right,
was always pretty wet, and so he dug the ditch to drain it.
That's probably.
Because that's what all the onion farmers did too. And did you know that I guess I have told you that your grandfather was quite involved in the lawsuit of Oregon Iron Steel?
No, I didn't know that.
No, I've got a lot to tell you then.
No, I didn't know anything about that at all.
I'm researching, doing a lot of research. Oregon Iron Steel from Oswego put a huge dam on the river and backed the river up all the way to shoals. I'll talk and you can eat now. And it damaged the farmers' fields tremendously, because all the onion flats, they weren't able to farm their land, and they wouldn't draw off the water until too late in the season to plant. And so there was a lot of trouble. Also, there was logging on the river. John L. Smith would have logs brought down the river, so he wanted the dam on. So there was a lot of contention in the area. Farmers got together and sued. Several of them sued separately, Oregon Iron and Steel, but they had signed something that they wouldn't complain if the water came onto their property, but they were kind of bamboozled. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I think from about 1894 there were lawsuits, and finally in 1900, August Krauss, I'm sure you wouldn't know him or his family.
Krauss from Seipel?
Yes.
Madge.
He filed a suit, and all the farmers joined with him, but he was the main instigator of the suit. And it was hung up in the courts for 6 years. Every court, district court, Oregon Supreme Court, handled the case and always ruled for the farmers. And Oregon Iron and Steel kept saying, "We don't understand your instructions." You would be very interested in this. And so finally, then Oregon Iron Steel wanted to put even more water from the Tualatin River into their lake, because they had built the channel, the canal, from Tualatin River to Oswego to make the lake. And they wanted to raise it even more. And the farmers had enough, and they blew the dam up. And who was interested in blowing up the dam was my grandfather, Julius Martinazzi, and Burl Ladd, who were both of them sons-in-laws of William Jurgens and two other people. So it's a fascinating story, and I've just begun the research, but it's a fascinating story that needs to be told about power and greed and the small person that gets knocked out.
They blew it up illegally, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I just recently, doing research on this, found in the Oregonian there was a big ad, $500 paid for whoever will turn in who did this.
Who did it?
I could claim that now.
Yeah.
My dad talked about it constantly. He was only about 5 years old when the dam was blown up, but his father was involved in it and talked about it constantly. Hmm. It's a fascinating story, and it would have been completely forgotten had Dad not kept telling me about it. Uh-huh. And then I looked it up.
And at that point, the Iron and Steel Company gave up Once the dam was blown up, did they stop litigating, or?
Yes.
I guess.
They did, but they continued their water right and their use of the water for the lake to, you know, they wanted to develop all on the lakeside lots, and they produced a little bit of electricity, which gave them the out.
Hmm.
But it's a fascinating story, and I'm surprised your dad never talked about it. Or maybe if he did, you didn't listen, you know.
No, I don't.
Some of us don't.
I don't think.
It's not anything a little kid would be particularly interested in.
But your father wouldn't have been one of the dynamite people.
No.
But he might.
You're not eating.
Oh, I'm sure he did. I'm sure he wouldn't.
My father was a very quiet man.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't into storytelling. He
had a
pretty interesting story. Yeah. Though.
Yes, great. It is. Uh-huh.
Huh.
But in fact, there's many things that I wish that they had talked about.
Oh, sure.
Because so many things I didn't know.
Do you suspect you were born in Portland because there was no hospital in Tualatin? Is that where
people went
to have babies?
Yeah. Oh, there was nothing in Tualatin. Nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you'd have to travel all the way in there if you could make it fast enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was born at home.
Were you?
Mom was born, my older sister was born at St. Vincent's in the old one in Portland.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And Mom was in the hospital for 10 days. By the time she got out, she was so weak she couldn't stand up. Second one, you know, 1934, they were poor as church mice and decided to have me at home. But I gave my mom an awful lot of trouble. Because Aunt Rose, you know, was the midwife.
Midwife.
And I guess she said, I can't handle this. And so they called Dr. Bissett. You remember Dr. Bissett?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so he came with his little boy, Bobby. Bobby was running around the yard chasing the chickens. And he told my mother, "And I will never deliver another baby for you at home." All the little juicy tidbits.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so your dad continued to farm the land, didn't he, that he owned down by the river?
Yes,
mm-hmm.
he did. Before I was born, I don't have any stories on it. But even after I was born, he did raise some things down there, or he had, you know, someone else rented the property or something.
Didn't they raise beans or something one time? Or was it strawberries?
Hops. Hops and strawberries, both at different times.
Mm-hmm. And then I remember the field of poppies, but that was on Uncle Bill's place, wasn't it?
I think so.
But your dad farmed it for him?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
And what did you do with the poppies?
I have no idea.
Oh.
Bakeries, maybe?
I think the poppy seeds to the bakeries.
I think that would be obvious.
Yeah. I wonder how they harvested the seeds. Do you suppose they had a combine, or like they do with grain?
I don't know. I don't know, and if they did, I don't know what kind of machinery was available that many years ago, because, I mean, that wasn't yesterday.
Well, I was a kid. It wasn't all that long ago.
No.
But he owned no equipment, right?
No.
He didn't. Well, didn't your brother, Johnny, own some equipment? Because I remember him with a bulldozer. He was a logger, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He logged my grandfather's place.
Yeah, he had a bulldozer.
Hmm. Yeah, and in fact, I remember him over on the Jurgens place with his bulldozer. He wore a hard hat.
Really? I wonder where he parked it.
I don't remember that.
I don't remember seeing him.
She might if she ever gets back here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did some bulldozing, I think, up at Lewis and Clark College.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that either.
I remember at your parents' store, they had a jukebox. And I remember that's the first time I ever heard the song Born to Lose.
Huh.
I kept playing Born to Lose.
I've lived my life in vain.
Yeah.
We were talking about that jukebox.
Yeah, we don't
this
know
this morning.
Oh, wow.
We suspect given away for junk, but it wasn't junk.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, one never knows that at the time.
Yes. Mm-mm. And your parents, did they not have a match team of Percheron horses?
Yes.
Did they?
That was before my time. I think they did.
I never knew them to have mechanized equipment, but I did hear the stories about the horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so he must have had plows and harrows and all this stuff to,
maybe that kind of thing,
before he moved up to the other place.
Yes, I'm sure.
But you not a tractor.
No.
Sorry to say. Oh, my grandfather had a Percheron stud, and I think his stud bred all the mares around.
Yeah.
And Uncle Bill, of course, whom I'm just so fond of, Uncle Bill. Probably you and I remember him better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I told you about the time I was riding my horse. He had been up at the store, the Jurgens Park, and was walking home, and he had a loaf of bread inside of his coveralls, bib overalls. Yeah, it was. So I thought to myself, I was up by our house, or by our barn, I says, I'll show Uncle Bill I know how to ride a horse. So I was riding bareback, and I laid down on the horse and kicked him in the ribs and was just laying down on his neck, and then I was so proud of myself, and he says, you need to sit up straight when you ride a horse.
Oh,
so deflated. And of course you heard the story about the horse meat.
Nope.
Well, we used to invite Uncle Bill to dinner. Mom, on Sunday dinner, she would occasionally tell us to go over and invite Uncle Bill to dinner. Of course, he being a bachelor was always half-starved.
And next door, basically.
So my uncle on my mother's side, her brother, had a mink ranch. Chapman, do you remember that Chapman's up in Stafford?
Mm-hmm.
He had a mink ranch. And he butchered horses to, sorry, I know it sounds horrible, but that's what people did. And so it was during the war, and he gave Dad a horse meat roast. And so Mom cooked it, and of course they didn't say anything to us kids, except Shell, my little sister, heard Mom and Dad talking. And so Uncle Bill was there, and he was always starved, and Mom was about ready to pass around this nice roast with potatoes and gravy and everything, and Shell says, that's horse meat! And Uncle Bill's nose went up in the air, he wouldn't touch it, because he loved horses. He wouldn't touch it, he wouldn't eat the gravy. Yeah, he was hurt, hurt, cut to the quick, cut to the quick. Yeah, he loved horses. He used to apparently train horses, get horses from Eastern Oregon, wild horses, and train them and sell them.
At the dance hall, as you call it, wasn't it basically just an empty storage building? I mean, it wasn't a formal dance hall.
I don't know who we lost here, Abby. It wasn't a huge
was going to sit there.
Well, in my mind, it was because I was pretty small. It was, and it was open, and
right.
It wasn't.
It was always for dances, not for.
It was always for dances. When I was young.
Tell her, maybe she knows this, that the women would sit in the corner and quilt.
They did that. The women did, the range women, I believe it was, would come there, not sit in the corner, they would set their tables up in the room.
There she is.
And
quilt while everybody else dances.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
One of my first memories is going somewhere with my mom walking. To somewhere there was a white picket fence, and she was quilting. And I was up on the highway somewhere. Effie Duncan's or your place or somewhere.
Well, I've been guarding it.
Effie Duncan's or Mrs. Mason's up on the corner. Mason's were there, too. Or one more up on the right-hand side. I can't remember what her name was. Very nice.
I'm sure we met.
You know where Roma's Rest was, up towards your place, which would have been south. There was another building, like a restaurant or something. What was that? And it was always closed in my time.
Yeah. The restaurant. It was a tavern, and it was Roma's Rest Tavern. Always, when I was young, and it had those the owners of the tavern. Owned the property, and they rented the cabins. It wasn't a special.
Well, I mean, I don't know where Roma's Rest is now.
Oh, okay.
I don't mean where the office is now, or the what we used to call Roma's Rest. It was further south toward Looney's, but it was on that side, same side of the road. There was a building.
Oh, okay. That would have been.
Just finished reading.
In later years, after Roma's Rest was there, then they sold off a portion that had to do with the river, and that may be what you were thinking of. There was an entrance to the river park, and they had a dance hall there, and they had picnic grounds, too.
And what was that called? Seems like I've heard another name, but I can't remember.
Did you? I can't. If I heard it, something it might be familiar.
So it must have been pretty close to Roman's Rest.
It was side right to it.
Really?
Yeah.
Paradise. Was it Paradise Park?
But there's the name rings a bell. Paradise Park. Am I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Why would they sell to a competitor?
So they were not a competitor at the time. I think it was because at the time they weren't hardly even renting their own cabins, and they weren't running their own tavern. Things were very quiet and slowed down, I think. I don't remember an awful lot of, you know, anything special. So they probably just sold off a portion of what they had. Or...
So the kids got to see her.
Maybe it's a, it could have been the same owners that just opened the portion for the park down below. I don't know.
Was it the Josie family who ran Roman's
Rest? I guess your fourth
Roman's
grade
Rest?
Kids did well this year.
Josie,
yeah.
Sounds
it
familiar.
Yeah,
but that would have been, yeah, when I was very young, Josie's, Mrs. Josie, yeah, Josie's, J-O-S-S-I, just S-Y, I think.
Yeah. You know, Ben, after I wrote the story about the spinning wheel,
yes,
I found out a lot more,
oh,
which I wish I had known. It's my ex-husband, Larry Lee, who's here today. Did you see Larry?
Mm-hmm.
He said that my dad used to talk about all, I remember my dad talking about a lot of things, but I don't remember him talking about the spinning wheel. But he said there were gangsters there, and there were gangsters from Sherwood, from Chicago, come out.
Wow.
Oh, for him's sakes.
That's serious.
It was a real serious thing. And I hadn't known that. I would put a different slant on it.
Gangsters.
Yeah. Mm.
And our grandmother washed dishes there.
And, the spinning wheel and Tut was the night watchman.
Night watchman. We're pretty thick with the Chicago gangsters at the time.
That explains a lot.
I don't remember, you know, why it closed or when it closed.
It burned down, remember?
Yeah.
I thought we were closed.
But
we didn't have enough.
Yeah, but I mean, it kind of quieted down in his business and stuff anyway, I think.
Well, it got kind of maybe shut down by the feds or whatever. There's always so much more to a story than it's on the surface.
No organized crime would find its way out of the toilet to the
Southern Oregon Metro.
Well, it was the place to go in the Portland area, I guess.
Yeah.
But I've been up here now since.
As I remember, it was a very pretty place on the inside.
And you were an Oregon skater.
Huh.
Yep, I sure was. Well, yeah, I was there.
Yeah, I think that's what Curtis Tigard said. It was
60 years
pretty well
ago.
First
can
class.
Can you believe that, Abby?
Yes, I can. Because you had in 65.
They never found the cause of the fire, did they? Or
I was there. Graduated
never did.
In 56,
could have been an insurance scam for all we know.
Well,
if it was running, if it was getting low on business.
I wonder. I think the paper said there was some insurance or there wasn't. I can't remember. But the paper doesn't always know everything.
Yeah.
A long time.
Yeah.
I don't think there was enough insurance to rebuild it. Did you go to the Tarleton Elementary School?
Yes, I did.
Same as she did, I think.
I believe so. And yeah, and I remember you in
Portland State.
you know, we used to have assemblies, you know,
was also
and you and some other girls, Duffy, Hamilton,
yeah,
were singing Deep in the Heart of Texas.
When I got married, it was
the
year, so.
I remember it.
Oh, my gosh.
And at the sixth grade graduation, didn't you have a piano solo or something?
At my eighth grade.
Eighth grade.
Who was your piano teacher?
Mrs. Luce.
Oh.
Do you know that name?
Yeah, I sure do. She was the principal's wife.
Principal's wife.
So did you go to the old school at all?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Oh, you had to because I... Yeah.
I was there in both places.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4.
It would have been late 60s.
What year would that have been?
Maybe the first 5 years. Miss Cole was the last one, Miss Schumer.
Fall 59 to fall 54.
Was it sixth grade into the new school?
Oh, yeah, probably. So. That must have been quite a...
Yeah, I was there.
...coming up in the world. The new school was so much nicer, wasn't it?
So we'd been there
I suppose
time.
It was. It didn't seem to impress me that much.
Really?
It was just a school.
Just a school.
And I have the schools.
Yeah.
And I knew the teachers already. It was nothing. Uh-huh. It was just a new room to go to.
It was pretty easy to get.
Now, was there bus service in those days when you went to school?
Mr. Wagner?
Wager.
Wager?
Wager.
Wager. I think that started probably in the sixth grade.
Oh, okay. I remember before I started school that you walked down from your place and picked up the Likes girls, mm-hmm. and then we went along with you and picked up Roseanne and the Pickens kids and walked up to school for a field day, which I guess was after school was out and the last day.
That could be.
And I hadn't, you know, it's the first time I was still about 5 years old. And when we got to the school, of course, I was very impressed. And a bunch of kids are playing basketball, and I saw Vandenheed. What was his name?
Clarence Vandenheed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he and his dad, Ted, had been over working on our house. And here was somebody I had seen that I thought I knew. There I was, 5 years old, ran out and said, hi, hi. He says, get out of the way, kid. Oh, it's pretty humiliating. Never been off the farm, you know.
Clarence Vandenheed just passed away last month. He'd been ill for years. Alzheimer's.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Now, he was Tut's son?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
His firstborn.
Now, didn't he used to run pigs on the old Jurgens place?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if run was the right word. He did raise them there. So basically the same.
That's just the kind of a
farmer slang.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, I was thinking the last time we were here, you were asking me who Diana prayed for.
On his deathbed, practically.
Yeah,
Clayton Nyberg told me that
their father.
He was about to play the after your dad died.
James Stepp.
He was about to pay the taxes on the place to, quote, help out the Jurgens family.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
And then Pauline got the money and went up. He was on the courthouse ready to get the place away from the Jurgens family. He told me that, not so many words, but because he knew that I would find out. He said he was trying to help them out. No, he was trying to buy up all the land in the community because he bought my grandfather's land for next to nothing. Now the Nybergs are filthy rich.
Was that at the park or at the farm?
The farm.
At the farm.
Her mother.
So did you ever learn to play the old Jurgens fiddle?
No, I had it appraised, though, and they recommended that I didn't try to play it.
Oh, really?
That it was very tender.
Mm-hmm.
But I have it.
Elton Robbins told me that Bill Jurgens used to play the fiddle on his arm like this, like a Cajun, you know? Mm-hmm. Like that.
So is Diana still around here?
She was.
And we had an old piano. I don't know if you know the Louise, what was her name? I can almost remember it. Some people that lived on the Quackenbush Road. And they had a boy about your age. What was their name? But anyway, Mom bought an old piano from her.
A boy about my age that lived on the road.
On Quackenbush Road. Now they took that name off, which is too bad. Now it's like 108 or something. But anyway, I can remember Uncle Bill playing the piano. He would come home, he'd come over to our place, you know. He would play the piano, so he was musical like his father.
How did Uncle Bill come in possession of that?
Well,
violin.
He played the fiddle himself. Whether it was his father's or it was his, I don't know.
You don't know?
No, I wouldn't know.
What was the name of that other man?
I know who you're talking about.
That's kind of related to the...
Shedlack.
Shedlack, yeah.
Shedlack. And found out that he's buried up at Hillsboro with his family. He was Grandma Jurgen's uncle.
Okay, uncle.
And he had bought a big plot up at Winona Cemetery. You know, when they started the cemetery, a lot of the families bought the big, you know, seven lot plots, I guess it is. So he had bought one. But we could never find any stone or any indication that he was buried there. And then some of the Castiles bought that, or buried there. And apparently he was buried up at up in Hillsboro, where he had some relatives. You know, he built the Barngrover house. He built the house we lived in. And I think he helped build the old Jurgens house, which, by the way, is still standing. Did I tell you I went down to the park, down to the lowlands on the river?
No, did you?
I did. I couldn't hardly get my bearings. But then I could just see where the ditch had been and run into the creek. And then I could see...
How did you get in there?
You can just walk down. You go down Apache Bluff, one of the streets, Cheyenne, I guess it is, to the end.
And then go down the road by the hillside?
There's no road. You just walk. You just go down. Yeah. And the country club has bought a lot of the property, so the golf course extends clear down there. Clear down there, or even around where the creek goes, the ditch goes in. But you can see where my dad used to water the cows over west, you know, because our land was further west. Dad had a well, just a hand-dug well, and he had a fence around it. And he had tubs, because we didn't have any running water, you know. He had tubs and different barrels and stuff. And he would dip water in with one hand, hang on to the thing with one hand, because there was just a big hole in the ground, and then fill all the tubs and stuff for the cows to drink. And if you look from down by the river, you can see that big wet spot is still there.
Did your dad ever talk much about growing up with Glenn Jurgens?
Glenn Jurgens was his best friend.
It looks like you had good luck.
They were very close. And Glenn Jurgens worked at a foundry, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
He made a bell for Dad. You know, a bell to hang outside. Mm-hmm. Tony got it.
Mm.
Yeah, Dad was very fond of Glenn Jurgens. In fact, Dad said one time to Evelyn, "You're my favorite cousin." She says, "Oh, you mean after Glenn?" But that was after Glenn had died.
Whatever happened to Patsy Ladd?
Passed away.
Well, years ago.
Mm-hmm. One of her sons is here today.
Oh, for instance.
And one of John's daughters is here also.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Sharon. Yeah, Sharon Miller.
Mm-hmm. That name you said earlier, Effie Duncan. I remember Grandma talking about that name. What did she do in the area?
Lived there.
Near the park.
I don't know if she was a widow lady or just an old single lady or what, but.
No, she lived across the road from you and further
down. Up at the corner. Across from the Masons. I can't think of the other people that were further south. Mm.
So when did the Looney's Market go in? I mean, were you still around at that time?
I don't recall it.
You don't recall Looney's Market?
When would that have been? What year?
Well, I was a kid. I was a teenager.
Oh, really? A teenager. Okay.
I can't remember when it went in.
Where was
it? But it was...
Up at the corner?
Yeah, if you from our place, if you go up to the highway, it was just on the left. Next to the Harsh Place.
No.
Do you remember what they called the Sister's Place or the Harsh Place?
No. No, I don't remember that. Um, Looney's sounds familiar, but it had.
It was a fresh market.
How long did it last?
I think until they widened the road. I think as long as Jurgens Park did, you know, the first one.
Do you have any idea who started the Crawfish Festival? Would it have been just the town, the town council or something?
It was the VFW.
Ah.
The VFW had organized, and they had in the mid-50s, and they didn't have their own hall, so they rented the Grange Hall and different things like that. So they started the Crawfish Festival in order to raise money to build a Quonset hut, which was their there's their hall until just a few years ago. Now it's gone. That's how it got started, and it was 1951, and then it ran for about three years, I think it was. And then they just didn't want to do it anymore. And then for the centennial in 59, they started it up again. Then it was, I think, the Booster Club.
I remember it, yes.
Yeah.
Steely.
Well, you remember when Patty was the queen?
Somebody, one of the two I was going to say, was it? Yeah.
Patty was the queen. It was on, it was called Miss Pioneer. Before then, it had always been the queen and princesses, but it was Miss Pioneer. And there was Patty Jurgens and Sharon Ladd, who was from the Jurgens and the Ladd. And who was the other one? Patty? Sharon? And who was the other girl? Oh, Tammy Galbraith. And Patty got it because she was from the Cummins, Galbraiths, and Jurgens family.
We're talking about you being the queen of the
Crawfish
Festival.
And there is the cutest picture you'll ever see.
And Sharon is here, and I wanted you to be sure and touch base with her.
Okay. Yeah.
I already talked with her.
Did you bring your tiara or anything?
Well, no, I didn't. I didn't. No.
Did anyone see Bill Gubb?
No.
I haven't seen him.
Maybe he's not. Wasn't
I remember the parade. I think I went to the...
Oh.
To when you were the...
Yeah.
I think I did.
Well, you know, the parade was led by Clyde Hedges. Do you remember him?
I remember the name.
Fire department?
No, Clyde Hedges was the old-timer for, Oregon Trail pioneers. And he's the one that kind of made it, I think, organized it into a pioneer thing to celebrate the centennial. And then all the big families, well, Jurgens family certainly had a big float. It was our wagon, Larry Lee's wagon, and we all sat on it, and Jurgens family. And the Seminole family had a float that was a kind of a facsimile of a log cabin.
Uh-huh. I remember that name.
They're descended from the Boone family, Daniel Boone.
Well, they put a lot of time and money into it, too.
Oh, yeah. Tualatin was just, you have to understand, just a little jog in the road. Really nothing going on. That was fun. Wait a minute. What I did, my mother, of course, I was 16, and I wanted to run for Crawfish Festival Queen. That was in 51. I'm sorry, going back to 51. And you had to sell tickets, and my mother said, no, daughter of mine is going to stand outside the tavern and sell tickets. So she wouldn't let me run for Crawfish Queen. So it was this girl that was had come in from the Banfort flood, stood outside the tavern and sold tickets, and she got to be Crawfish Festival Queen. But I wore a swimsuit and sat on the fender of a car for Huntley's grocery store, the white store. There were two of we girls.
God. Keep a picture of that?
Yes, unfortunately there is.
Put it in your news magazine.
Oh, no, not that one. I'm pretty careful in what pictures I send in. But all the 4-H clubs were there. Kids were even taking their cows down the street, in the parade. And it was fun. There were horses, and since it was a pioneer... No, that, I'm going back to 51. Still, it was a big parade. They had the marching band from the McLaren Boys School. Mm. It was a big deal. And everybody came. And then they had the street dance that night, the crowning of the queen, and the street dance at the VFW Hall. That's when it was the first year in 51.
And you really would have liked to crown that queen.
Yeah. That's all right. I sure had a ball at the dance, I'll tell you that. Mom and Dad were gone somewhere. I had a great time.
Weren't you queen in 59?
Yeah.
Centennial?
59, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you say 51 was the first?
Yes.
Oh,
okay. To raise money for the VFW so they could have a hall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. It was the original idea.
But it was so much fun in those first years because everybody came. From every Wilsonville, Tiger Turret, everybody came. And you got to see people you hadn't seen for years, and it wasn't commercial. We didn't even go to the Crawfish Festival this year. It's just commercial. I'm not interested. Mm-hmm. Not interested in it anymore.
Mm-hmm. And before you guys break up, I want to get your picture.
Well, also, I want to get a picture of everybody.
Yes.
I know we're going to get some pictures of everybody later, but this would be good to get you guys.
Okay.
I'm not a much of a photographer. Do I want this light in my back? Or?
You want it to your back, yes, I think so.
Take it from up here.
I would take it from here this way. It's going to be better if you...
This has a flash.
So you lean way in. So you sit up here and lean way in. There we go. Best front forward. Oh, never mind.
Take it on. Take it
come on.
On
move, forward, move ahead.
Take it on three. How's that? One, two, three. Yeah,
good.
Good work. Thank you.
Are you still taping?
Yes.
You're not gonna.
No, that's okay. Why?
You're not gonna do anything with that. I mean, that tape is just for your use.
It's going on the TV and the radio.
We'll have a paper minutes. For you to sign later that we can use it in any way we choose.
No.
You haven't said anything bad. Just the truth, nothing but the truth.
Well, this will be on 60 Minutes. And
So
I don't make sense when I think about it.
Pat, what were you going to talk about? You don't have to talk about it if you don't want to, but just give me a clue.
Celia and Pat, you, the place just directly across from Grandma Penny's newer white house, the white brick house on Juergens Park, with a restaurant or a tavern or something, was that owned by Josie's?
Yes.
Okay. And what was it called? Paradise Park? Does that ring a bell?
Roma's Rest was along in there.
Roma's Rest was down further north, down by the river, and then there was this other building next to it. Just up a ways north, or south, I mean. And it just seemed like it said Roma's Rest on it.
I'm thinking that she thinks the original building, whether it was just the one without an extra building for the park.
Oh, was it a restaurant?
Yeah.
And then, but it was closed all those years, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, that settles it then. I hadn't known that.
Why was it closed? Business is slow.
I don't know why they closed it, but it did. Yeah.
But you know, in those days, even in the 40s, nobody went to restaurants. I don't remember ever going to it if we went downtown.
More of a
nightclub.
Yeah,
sure.
Of course, that's what it was. It must have been. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Called what, though?
Roma's Rest.
Paradise Park is something else.
Yeah, Paradise Park must be something else, yeah. But there was a Paradise Park. There was an Elsner's Park, too. Do you remember that?
Elsner's?
Mm-hmm. And it was called...
This one they bought from a guy...
Elsner's Park.
Where would Elsner's
Park be? D-I-X-O-N?
I saw him yesterday, yeah.
Must have been further west.
At the Grange... He's a Grange member, Ken Dixon. It's probably the same Ken Dixon. He lives out at Yam Hill now.
I'm making up stories.
Did he
now.
Ever live
what
at, what's the name of that?
Well, he lived on Twilight and Sherwood Road, I know.
Okay.
Lois would know, but do you know his family?
No, huh? They just bought the car from him.
Oh, so, I bet that's...
But I think he was here at, what's a little town nearby here? Not Durham?
Sherwood?
Did he used to
Wilsonville
live?
Wilsonville, or... No, that's not too
Sherwood,
new.
Tiger Hill?
And I don't know that it's... His last name is Bill Dixon, D-I-X-O-N.
Oh, Bill Dixon.
Ken
Dixon.
Yeah, that's the way Ken spells his name, isn't it?
No, it's D-I-C-K. D-I-C-K.
Okay.
Oh, I'm
then it's
sorry.
Not the same. Because I went to school with Judy Dixon, and it was D-I-X-O-N.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about her brother? Dave?
John.
John still lives up here on Norwood Road.
Oh.
Yeah.
Anyway,
those
then...
Are the two... So you lived in Paulton your whole life, basically?
This is